3 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down state laws that imposed a mandatory and automatic sentence of life without parole on juvenile murderers. Today, the question before the court was whether that decision is retroactive. It's a question that could affect more than 2,000 offenders who were sentenced to life without parole before 2012. Here's NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.
The case was brought by 70-year-old Henry Montgomery, who's spent 53 years in prison for a murder he committed when he was 17. On the steps of the Supreme Court today, his lawyer, Mark Plaisance, said that unlike juveniles sentenced now, Montgomery had no chance a half century ago to show that there were mitigating circumstances that would justify a sentence less than life without parole.
At the time Mr. Montgomery was sentenced, the state could only impose mandatory life. The state did not conduct any type of sentencing hearing where a defendant now can get an alternative sentence to life without parole, something much less.
Such a huge change in the law, he says, should be retroactive and apply to the 2,100 juvenile killers like Montgomery who reportedly were automatically sentenced to life without parole before 2012. The state of Louisiana, represented by lawyer Kyle Duncan, disagrees.
The offenders serving that sentence still are serving a constitutionally valid sentence, and if they get the new process, they could still get the same sentence. And what we're saying is that's the kind of rule that the court has never applied retroactively.
Inside the courtroom, the retroactivity question devolved into a debate over whether the court has jurisdiction over this question at all. Because Montgomery and the state agree that the Supreme Court does have that authority, the justices appointed lawyer Richard Bernstein to argue the opposite point of view. Bernstein clearly had some supporters, particularly among the conservative justices. That prompted Justice Breyer to wonder how the court would treat people in prison for witchcraft, for example, if they were still in prison decades after prosecution for these activities had been ruled unconstitutional. The jurisdictional question so dominated the argument, with Justices Scalia and Alito leading the charge, that finally Chief Justice Roberts suggested that the lawyers might want to address the merits of the case, namely their retroactivity. By then, Plaisance had finished, and Deputy Solicitor General Michael Dreeben, representing the federal government, was midway through his argument time. Dreeben said that the court's 2012 decision should be retroactive because the ruling went far beyond mere procedural changes and required states to adopt new sentencing options that included penalties less severe than life without parole. He noted that the Supreme Court itself, in striking down mandatory life without parole for juvenile killers 3 years ago, found the penalty was often disproportionate and that the sentence was not consistent with the mitigating characteristics of youth that the court has recognized repeatedly. Justice Ginsburg, have any states treated the court's 2012 decision as retroactive? Dreeben said 10 states have either provided sentencing hearings or parole hearings for those sentenced prior to 2012. The defendants in those states have almost uniformly received sentences that are significantly shorter than life, he said. Next up was Louisiana's Kyle Duncan arguing against retroactivity. To require sentencing hearings would distort the system, he said, because the witnesses who could testify about the juvenile and his crime are often dead and important records no longer available. Justice Kennedy, there's no distortion if you just have a parole hearing. Justice Kagan, there has to be a range of penalties in these cases, upper and lower. The range is important. It's not just the top end. That's the kind of major change in sentencing structure, she suggested, that would make the court's 2012 decision retroactive. Whether a majority of the court agrees with that was unclear. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.